everybody. This is Tracy, and I'm delighted you've joined me for this episode of Good Life Stories. I created this podcast because I believe we are all seeking connection, and what better way to do that than through story? So get ready. These stories are meant to suck you in. Welcome to Good Life Stories. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Good Life Stories. Today is our final session with Krista Kirchmerick, and she talks now about what it means to be the change that you want to see in the world. And her thing is, you know, if you want to be able to shine a light on something and to make a change, you have to be in the room. And so she has some great stories around this. I know you'll enjoy it. Here we go. Okay, so last thing. If you could shine a spotlight on one thing right now, and you have a couple, so we don't have to like slow down. It was just the, let's shift to that because you've got some beautiful things to say there, because you were talking about what you want to do if you want to make a change or be involved in change in the world.
Be in the room.
So just physically in the room?
Physically on email lists, on Zoom calls, be where the things and the decisions are being made. That's going to town hall meetings. It's going to codes and standards meetings. It's, you know, going to civic events. It's volunteering for, you know, be it the Red Cross or the ACLU. It's doing voter registration. It's any number of things where decisions are being made. Be in the room. Even if you don't think you're qualified, you have an opinion. If you feel strong enough to get involved, that gives you an in. And sometimes your lack of qualifications can actually help. You know, don't focus on just what you don't have, but focus on what you do. My best example of this is working in PVHO and on the Codes and Standards Committee. I'm a mechanical designer. I am unencumbered by a higher education. And the code, the engineering code for building PVHOs is supposed to be like a cookbook. There's tables and charts, and if you go down this table, get your depth, get your pressure, and you should be able to build a system from the book.
From that. Yeah.
From that book.
From the cookbook.
And your designers, who won't necessarily be engineers, should be able to go from the cookbook. And after having done a project where we were recertifying an older PVHO system, there were a lot of problems in the windows section. So what you'll have, you look at a drawing, you'll see like little letters and numbers and squiggles and whatnot. And all of those are supposed to mean something.
Yeah.
And very specific things. And if you look on any map or technical drawing, you'll have what's called a nomenclature. It'll be a list of what all those marks and letters and squiggles mean. There was in the Windows section in particular, there was no marks or squiggles or whatever. And some of them were doubled. And I had opinions on this.
Yeah.
And I opened that can of worms. I had told Bart, yeah, I'm just going to go and be quiet and watch. No, that didn't happen. I brought up this issue, and they were like, well, if you know what you're doing, it won't matter. It's like, that's the thing, is somebody should be able to walk into this fresh and build it from this code book and understand everything that's going on.
Right.
Well, they were like, okay, you think you can do it? The subcommittee chair and I, it still talked about, he was like, are you sure, young woman?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure, old man. It was,
yeah,
it was kind of the showdown, and people still on the committee still talk about it. And 10 years later, I got what I wanted. They completely redid the drawings. There's a nomenclature now. I'm not an engineer.
Yep.
But I was able to draw attention to this. I'm now working with NSPE, National Society of Professional Engineers, on basically national policy involving AI and quality assurance for computer-controlled systems.
Wow.
And, I mean, yeah, wow.
How cool.
What got me in there was Bart saying, hey, I think you need this person to, you need to hear her point of view, because she worked at the low levels as a QA tech. And I did. Yeah. I unencumbered by higher education. I was doing QA on software.
Yep.
And so here I walk into this room. It's, you know, it's online meetings, a virtual room. But they're like, okay, why do you think you need to be here? And I put forward that I would be working on this life safety stuff. I don't have a degree. I don't know anything about heart surgery. And you want me to test life safety stuff without any qualifications? Or even any way to say, no, this is bad. I don't know what...
How do I know what good and bad are?
I know what good and bad are? And there are testers being put into this position every single day.
Yeah.
They're not degreed. They're not the high level, you know, computer science engineers.
Yeah.
And this is something I've been passionate about for years, because I did that. That started 3 years ago, and after the first year, a bunch of people were dropped out of the group. I was invited back, and I was invited back for the third year. I tried to get out. I tried to say, "Hey, you know, this is now above my pay grade. I'm going to back."
Yeah, you feel like you don't need me.
I feel like you don't need me anymore, and they were like, "Oh no!" Bart went into one of the, Bart had to miss a meeting, and I showed back up, and they're like, "Hey, I thought you quit." I was like, yeah, I did. I'm covering for Bart. And now I'm back to doing the meetings again. In fact, the committee chair was like, you can't leave. I was like, what do you mean I can't leave? He was like, you're our bullshit meter. We need you. All of us here are the people with all the degrees. It. And you've been keeping us on track.
We all need one of those.
For 3 years, we need you to call bullshit on us. I was like, okay. So, I mean, that got kind of involved, but that's my point. I went into this committee, and my qualification was very much that I wasn't the highly educated person. I was the person on the ground that has to interact with this stuff.
Yes.
And they need everything you get into. They need those voices.
Yes.
You know, this is my community. You know, for civic stuff, one I can think of is community policing. This is my community. I want to be involved in how my community is policed. You need to be in the room to talk with the mayor and the city council and the police departments to tell them what your concern is about your community, because that's what community policing needs.
Yeah.
Just be in the room. Be in the room, look at what you don't have, but look at what you do have. Everybody's got something.
Yeah.
And the rooms that I've been in and the needles I've had a chance to budge have been like, you know, it's not me alone, but I've been part of something and part of.
You've been a different voice in a lot of those rooms.
Right. Yeah. And the different voices matter. And I mean, sometimes you really gotta dig your heels in to get your voice heard. But you know, if it's worth doing, it's worth fighting for. It's worth speaking up. It's worth beating that drum over and over and over again. The people doing it might not act like they hear you. You're being heard. It's getting in there. They have the louder you are, the harder they have to work to ignore what you're saying.
Exactly. And it's interesting. I was looking at what you'd sent me, and I think this is kind of a nice echo of what you just said. Of the I spend half the time utterly terrified that I'll sound like an idiot. But the alternative is being on the outside where I won't be heard at all.
Right.
And I feel like that's what so many of us need to hear is the, you know, it's okay to show up somewhere and not know everything you need to know to be in the room if you want to be in the conversation.
Right.
You know, go be in the conversation, add what you can, listen. Maybe you just go and listen the first couple of times to figure out what the conversation is so you know what you have to offer.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to go in and be the disruptor. Sometimes you go up and just show up and learn something like, oh, okay, I thought this was the problem. I need to go find out if this other thing's the problem. Is anyone else seeing this? You know?
Right, right. You know, that's kind of the InfoWar thing. Like, one of my favorite things to do now is sit down and listen to court cases.
Oh, you know, fascinating.
Courtcasters, you know, lawyers who are watching the court case and you're watching it live and they're explaining things as they go along. I also watch C-SPAN. I'll have C-SPAN going on in the background while I'm working for you know, major congressional votes and whatnot, because I don't want to rely on somebody else's take.
Yeah.
And occasionally I'll get, you know, there's a couple folks out there who will sit, you know, lawyers who will sit in on the C-SPAN and give running commentary to explain what's going on. But just to rely on snippets from the news, I know they're not telling me the whole story. They're telling me what
how they want you to think about it, whatever the story is.
So that's kind of being in the room on court cases or on political stuff. Just go and watch the proceedings. It's boring as hell. But you'll get, you know, you might be.
But it's so fascinating at the same time, you know.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you can learn just by sitting there and watching and listening, and you know, have a computer next to you and start be typing in terminology.
And, right.
You know, and God, I do that with books. I do that with everything. Oh, I don't know this word. Look it up. Look it up.
Yeah.
Look it up. Look it up. And that, I guess that's kind of what the InfoWar thing is too, is if I don't understand something, I've got a world of information at my fingertips.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the other thing that you put down is I love this. And if you want to just kind of riff on this a little bit of the not all dreams have to be plans, and then talking about what's called a tolerance stack.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I loved what you wrote there about, like, the, you know, adding concrete to dreams kind of stuff.
Wow. This is, I mean, it's, I see it a lot with the gig economy. Mm-hmm. You got a little idea. How do you monetize it? That's like, that's the adding concrete to it.
Right.
You know, you say, wow, it would be really cool to work in subsea diving. Well, you need to know math. You need to know engineering. You need to know this. You need to know that. That's the concrete. I'm going to be an artist someday. And I held on to that for such a longest time without allowing myself to expand beyond the confines of what I thought being an artist meant. And it's, you know, it really is like looking at clouds. You know, I have an idea. You play with it. You toy it around. Maybe it's something utterly ridiculous. I want to go to Mars someday. So?
Cool.
You let it happen. You know, and just, it's, dreaming is the mind's way of playing.
Yeah.
And wouldn't it be cool, you know, to do this or have fun doing that or, you know, to try things. Dreaming lets you try things in your mind. And it's okay. It's okay to have ridiculous dreams and ridiculous ideas and things that sound silly or impractical.
Yes.
A dream costs nothing to have.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying don't add the concrete. Okay, I have this dream and it gets more and more solid and it feels more and more real, and you can let it build organically.
it's an iterative process.
Right.
You know, you start with something, and I love what you were talking about, you know, the people not leaving enough wiggle room to adjust as dreams fill spaces, you know, like as it morphs and, you know, trying to hold onto it too tightly.
Right.
Is that concrete? Like it has to be this or it's not my dream.
Right.
Like whatever, you know, that is.
Right.
You know, but will you talk about what a tolerance stack is in engineering? Like, what does that mean?
Okay. A tolerance stack is, I wish I had a picture for you. You'll see a measurement like 5 inches plus or minus 0.5.
Yeah.
So 5 inches plus or minus a half an inch.
Yeah.
And then the next piece will be 2 inches plus or minus 0.3 plus or minus. It's that plus or minus. It's that tolerance stack. And what that gives is wiggle room. So things can be off by just a little bit, an amount, and it'll still function. You know, when you're talking giant buildings, skyscrapers, there's a lot of wiggle room in there. But when you get to aerospace engineering, those tolerances are microns.
Right.
I prefer to live at a, you know, large machine tolerance stack where I've got some wiggle room. There's a little bit of slop.
Yeah.
And I apply that to my life, and it's everything. Okay. We're going to be a half an hour late to dinner.
Yep.
Okay. If, you know, we're someplace else we can go. I have a vague shape of what I want my end result to look like. Allow some wiggle room for that shape to change a little bit.
Yeah.
And here I am visualizing again.
Yep.
But if you have a microns tolerance stack in your own life, if you're trying to build your life around
being risk averse,
that everything has to be exactly so, or nothing will work. You're leaving yourself open for a lot of disappointment as opposed to discovery.
Yeah.
And
there's no room for fun, random stuff to happen.
Right. Right. Yeah. Bart and I joke about, you know, we tell our employees, you know, be careful when he and I are in absolute agreement on something, because it means things could go horribly wrong or they could go horribly right.
Yes.
And horribly right is, you know, that, you know, oh shit, you know, like, sorry about the language.
It's okay.
It's like, oh, now we've succeeded. Now what do we do with this?
Now what do we do?
Okay, we've tied on. Let's go. Let's see where this goes. It's that room for discovery, that room for play, that room for things to morph and change. It's also leaving yourself a buffer to deal with change. I used to actually not deal with change very well. I mean, I do have that autistic streak of I will eat the same thing every single day. I will do the same thing every single day. I don't like change. Change is bad.
Yep.
But it actually took getting into engineering and learning what a tolerance stack was and, oh, how can I apply that to my life?
And
there are so many things from engineering that I apply to my life and my psychology that what? Engineering, psychology? No, it's there. Trust me. But building in those buffers for change, for dealing with changes, for giving yourself time to turn and maneuver and go in a different direction if that's what you need to.
Yeah.
Because when things are too tight, a lot can go wrong. If one thing goes wrong, everything can go wrong.
You create much bigger system failure.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So I think we'll kind of come to a close, but I wanted to read kind of the last thing you put in what you sent me. And it says, most importantly is to look up from your life once in a while. You might be living the dream, but are so wrapped up in the reality that you can't actually see that you made it.
Yes.
I love that, because of course the funny part for me is I think Ferris Bueller, you know, if you don't stop and look around once in a while, you might miss it.
Yes. There are a lot of good gems like that in Ferris Bueller, and I think that's exactly where I got it from.
Yeah. Slow down and take a break. That's one of the things I talk to people about a lot, is if there's a lot going on, it might be a good time to turn your phone off and go away for a weekend and just let your brain percolate, because you'll find different things. You'll learn different things stepping away from the constant input.
Yeah. Yeah. Brains need downtime. They just do. Don't give your brain downtime, your brain will take the downtime whether you like it or not.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like being tired. If you think you're not sleepy, eventually you'll just fall over.
Yep.
You
know? Yep.
Well, Krista, if people wanted to find out more about you and what you do, I know they'll be in the show notes, but where would we find you? Like, if they wanted to find your Instagram feed with your cool nails, and if people wanted to see what you and Bart are up to, where would they find you?
KemperENG.com is our company website. And I believe my Instagram is lost.soul at lost.soul. And I think we have two Kemper Engineering Instas. I'm pretty sure we have two Kemper Instas. But Bart does the social media side of things.
Yeah, I just want to see your nails.
I give my Facebook account, but my Facebook is very much...
just personal.
It's very personal. I'm very careful about who I let in there, because, I don't hold back.
Well, Krista, I'm going to sign us off and stop recording here in a second, but thank you so much for being so generous with your time. I'm going to end up splitting this. So, all right, here we go. Thanks so much for listening to Good Life Stories. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please visit our website at goodlifestories.com for more show notes and additional episodes. Please subscribe and consider rating and reviewing the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts to help others connect to us. Who do you know with a good life story? I would love to hear from you. Good Life Stories, creating connection, one story at a time.